Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome back to Fire on the Earth, friends. We're making our way through the Acts of the Apostles. The church in her wisdom takes us every year through these readings of the unfolding of the church, the beginning of the life of the church, and the church is born on the day of Pentecost, in a complete way, the Spirit of God, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on the apostles in the upper room, fulfilling his promise that now he, the Lord, the Christ, who's at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven, has won the right through his victory on the cross, through his total fidelity to God the Father. He has won the right now to pour out his Spirit and to establish the Father's kingdom, the church, and to begin to extend that church in the world. And so it's such an exciting time to just reflect on the amazing work that Christ has done in his church and the amazing way in which he worked through the life of the apostles. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. I encourage you to listen to them with family and friends and discuss what we're talking about here on the program because it applies so profoundly to our life. I think what we see is the apostles go forward under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they do precisely what Jesus commanded them to do. And they preach the very words Jesus told them to preach with clarity, with power, with anointing. And it's leading people to conversion, repentance, to baptism, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to enter the life of the church. I ended yesterday's program saying how the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2 characterizes those who were converted to the preaching of the apostles and became followers of Jesus and had within them the Christ life. Because always remember, Christianity is life. Christianity is the truth about God's life, God pouring his life into our hearts and bringing us from death to life and making us a new creation. There's nothing like Christianity. There's no religion in the world compares to it. No other religion can save you because salvation comes through the name and the person of Jesus, which we'll hear Peter say that very thing. He'll be persecuted for it because Jesus is the only Son of God. A Buddha is not God's son. Muhammad is not God's son in the way Jesus is God's son. They're not the second person of the Trinity. They're not eternally begotten from above. They don't bear within themselves the divine life, which is exactly what human beings need to pass from death to life and into the life of God, to share God's life. That's what salvation means. And no human work can produce it. My good works can't make that come alive in me. That's a gift from God that only God can give me. And it comes to us through repentance and faith and baptism, being baptized into Christ. So I ended yesterday with this section where Peter, giving the central message the church must always be bringing to the world. We say the central message is God loves you. Yes, God does love you. I heard President Trump say about Billy Graham a number of weeks ago at his funeral, when he was at the Capitol in the rotunda, when he was lying there, his casket was there. He summarized Billy Graham's message in this way, God loves you. Now, that's absolutely true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, one of the things that was central to Billy Graham's proclamation that he was totally faithful to so often was this message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I'll read it again. And Peter said to them, repent, that is, change the direction of your life. You're now moving in a direction that's away from God. Turn radically toward God with your whole life. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So repent and be baptized. Jesus said to the apostles, that's exactly what they were called and being sent to do. Not only in their own lives, which they did, but to bring other people to repentance and baptism. Repentance for what? For the forgiveness of their sins. That's what repentance is about. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's what the message was. And people that day, 3,000 or so that day, received that message. They repented of their sin. They were baptized, and the church began to grow right there on that first day. And then Luke, the author of Acts, gives us an insight into what really then began to characterize the life of this early church. He put it this way in verse 42, "And they held steadfastly to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and the prayers." This is what genuine conversion will produce. This is what it means to live like a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And the apostles taught them how to live this way. First of all, they were steadfast. That is, they were fixed. They were single-hearted. They were full of zeal, and they were totally committed and surrendered to Christ. They held steadfastly to what? To the apostles' teaching. Think about this now in terms of what we're seeing in the church today. There's an enormous decline that's happening in the Western world. People have walked away from the church. People who were once baptized living in the church are not baptizing their own children in the church. They're turning their back on it. And they're turning their back on it. The fine reason to say, well, you know, because of this scandal or that scandal, you know, certainly that has an effect. But they're turning their back on a person. They're turning their back on Christ and on Christ's church. And somewhere deep down inside, they've convinced themselves, probably because the world, the broader culture has taught us all this over and over and over again. We don't need salvation. We don't need help. If we do, we can save ourselves. I'm the author of my own happiness. I'm the author of my own identity. The world right now, with its money, its power, its technology, is beating its chest, friends. It's really proud. It's pursuing radical autonomy from any authority, especially the authority of God. And many believers are being swept into it. That's apostasy. That's sin. And they're coming to the conclusion on various levels that they simply don't accept anymore the teaching of the apostles or the teaching of the tradition. They know better. They know a more loving, compassionate message than the message that Jesus Christ brought to the earth. And they're confident about it. And they're walking away from it. And they say, you know what? There's no value add for me in being in this church. It's actually getting more difficult. I'm kind of embarrassed by it now. I mean, they're still teaching that abortion is always wrong. They're still teaching that contraception shouldn't be used. They're still teaching things like sex is for marriage, and it's marriage is for a man and a woman. Sex is, you know, meant to be for the fulfillment of bodily unity of a man and a woman to help bring human life to being and all that. But the church doesn't believe in transgenderism. It doesn't believe in polygamy, polyamory. It doesn't believe in homosexual sex and the rest of it. So, man, they're just so backward, and they're just so judgmental and so hateful, and I just don't want anything to do with them anymore. And they're walking away. And what's being shown is, what altar do they actually worship? Because guess what? Every human being is a worship creature. Every human being is made for something more than itself. And I guarantee you, every human being is bending its knee somewhere. We all have our idols. We all have that thing that we're totally investing ourselves in, where we're getting our identity from, and that we're living for. And when we do that, when people drift away and say, you know, I'm living a good life. I'm fine. I don't need this anymore. I'm a good person. Wrong. There's only one who is good. That's God. And all who share in the life of God, who alone can make us good. Yes, all God created is good, and we're made in the image and likeness of God. But we're fallen, and we're under sin. And Jesus made it clear that there's profound wickedness in the human heart. And that's why we crucified him. That's why we reject him. Because we don't want to walk in humility and follow him and live a life of obedience. We don't want to obey anybody. It's like a bad word. So it's so different what we're seeing. They were steadfastly following the teaching of the apostles, and they were steadfast in their unity in the church, in their fellowship, sharing Jesus together, and the breaking of the bread. And they shared meals together, but they never missed the Eucharist. They never missed sharing in the body and blood of Jesus. They were steadfastly committed to it. It was the center of their life. It was the source and summit of their faith. And the prayers, they were steadfastly committed to prayer. So you see how, as the church is falling apart, friends, what we're seeing is the discipline of God some ways the judgment of God, that's upon the church. Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy that's in the church and the hypocrisy that's in the world. We see in the world, even, so much corruption being exposed, whether it's the Hollywood stuff, the political stuff, Wall Street stuff. All the hypocrisy of the human heart, more and more, is being revealed, and it's going to intensify. But God's judgment began on his church in our generation, with all the deep sins of the church. It's still being revealed. I just read a story where 60 priests or so in the Diocese of Naples in Italy were basically caught being part of a kind of homosexual ring of being connected with homosexual prostitutes and drugs and corruption and stealing money from the church and all of this. It's all been exposed. It's come to light. Everything that's hidden in darkness is going to be exposed to the light. When you see these things happen, they can be scandalous, they can be disheartening, but friends, what it's supposed to be, whether it's Harvey Weinstein or these priests, whatever, God is exposing the sin and the corruption. He's bringing it to light in a severe mercy. And so it's meant to be a sign to all of us to repent, to stop the corruption, stop the hypocrisy, stop living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Where do you stand? Are you with the Lord or not? And Jesus said, the person who says to me, hey, I said, Lord, Lord, I'm yours because I said, Lord, Lord. But Jesus said, if you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do my works, you don't obey me and you don't obey the Father, you're not really part of me. If you're blazing your own trail, having your own commandments, your own values, proudly insisting on your own radical autonomy and independence, you have made yourself God's enemy. That's a fact, right? And what is our life supposed to look like? Each one of us in our sinfulness and brokenness, confessing our sin and weakness, humbly receiving God's forgiveness, being merciful to people around us because we know we are no better than anybody else on our own strength. We're extending God's mercy and love and tenderness to a fallen world. We're extending salvation to a fallen world. And what does our life look like? Are we consumed in partying and being in the inner circle and exalting ourselves above other people, building our own kingdom, consuming ourselves into oblivion? Is that what we're supposed to be? Is that what our life looks like? Or full of anger and unforgiveness and rage and bitterness? Is that what our life looks like? Or is our life totally consumed in Christ? And are we characterized by a steadfast devotion to the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers? And are we so identified with this that the world is starting to come against us? Are we willing to take the hits for this? Are we living a life that's radically countercultural, that is not conforming to this world, but is following in the footsteps of Jesus and the footsteps of the apostles? And we'll take up now the persecution tomorrow that the apostles begin to experience as they walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Friends, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Live it radically from the bottom of your heart.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.